This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to a post-draft edition of Believe in 49ers presented by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online. I am your host, Tommy Call III. You can follow me on Twitter at Tommy_III. That is triple I for the third. And you can also catch all of my written work about the 49ers via USA Today's Niners Wire. But you hopefully already know that, because, folks, it is a weird time in the off season. How do I define it? Usually I like to start the podcast out with kind of saying, welcome back to a blank edition of the podcast. Didn't really know how to start it off because we're in a bit of a dead time. The draft is officially over. And not only is it over and closed, most of the theatrics around the draft are complete. You likely know who the 49ers draft class is, or the entire rookie class, including undrafted free agents. You hopefully know who those guys are by now. We're still going to talk about them, but let's talk about what's next for the 49ers at this point in the offseason. Because with the draft being over and free agency kind of entering the fourth quarter, let's say, of the offseason, we have some kind of answers with what this team is going to look like. And, you know, if there are question marks, how are they going to answer them with this last part of the offseason? Because it's very key. It's very important, specifically for a team like the 49ers that is trying to win a Super Bowl. So we're going to talk about what's next at this point in the offseason today on the podcast. We're also going to touch on some business and maybe even drop some predictions for the second round of the NBA playoffs. But before we get there, we have a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Speaking of betting, did anyone get lucky on the Kentucky Derby? You hit an exacta? Get lucky, hit a trifecta? Did you bet number 3, Mystic Dan? I had to mention it because your boy did. We got lucky on Mystic Dan on Saturday. Huge dub. Shout out to Mystic Dan and the Kentucky Derby. One of the most fun things to bet, I think, in the entire year. I love betting the horses, especially on Derby Day. Obviously, you have all the Kentucky Derby Triple Crown races that are fun, but there is something special about the Derby Day. Obviously, the Breeders' Cup is fun as well. I'm from Sonoma County, so we have horse racing here during the summertime at the fair. That's always fun, but there's just nothing like Derby Day. It is always exciting. I hate the anticipation. I hate the wait till we get to the horses, but man, that it is exciting, especially if you have an, quote, horse in the race and you're rooting for one, especially the one that came down to the wire like it did with Mystic Dan on Saturday. That was absolutely exhilarating, thrilling, to be honest. But let's move on. Speaking of thrilling, Before we dive deep into the podcast, let's touch on some business going on around the NFL, around the 49ers, some news and nuggets before we look ahead of this fourth quarter of the offseason. The NFL schedule comes out next week on May 15th. It's crazy how it's some big production. I know we're already probably thinking what the reveal video is going to look like from the 49ers social media team. That seems to be a big thing around this time of the year. There's a whole presentation for it. Do you have any predictions? Who you want the 49ers to play on opening day? Do you want them involved on a holiday game? How many primetime games? We're going to get to know all of that just next week, and we're going to have a lot of reactions here on Believe in 49ers. My favorite team, I'm just going to start with saying opening day, because that's outside of looking ahead of that. I don't know how to get into the private, the primetime game debate, but in terms of opening weekend, obviously would love to start out at home in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium. And a division matchup, kind of boring. There's obviously some bigger matchups on the board that you'd like to see the 49ers play later in the season. But the team that I would love to see coming into Santa Clara, week one of the NFL season, give me Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears at Levi's Stadium. They are one of the teams that is slated to come to the Bay Area this year. And it would be fun to see what the 49ers defense looks like against this highly rated rookie and kind of the new look Bears overall with Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, DeAndre Swift. I think it would be a nice little test and just fun to see what that team looks like. And kind of speaking of rookies, moving on to our kind of business section of the podcast, the rookies got jersey numbers. And this is only going to appeal to a certain kind of audience out there, but I don't know about you guys. I am a jersey guy. I look at a player, and if they are wearing a cool number that seems to fit them, I kind of have better faith in what looks like what their career is going to look like. And I know that sounds silly. And also, you know, if you want to rock a jersey, it better be a cool number. And so Ricky Pearsall is going to wear number 14, which I think is a great selection. Love that, especially for kind of fits his game, kind of like the slot wide receiver situation. I think 14 is just a really solid wide receiver number in general. Isaac Grindo is going to wear number 49. That could switch. He could make a change to that number, it seems like, if he, you know, as a running back. Dominic Puni wearing number 77. Great offensive line number. One of the best offensive line numbers, in my opinion. Number 77. If I was playing O-line, I would want to wear number 77. Jacob Cowing wearing number 83. Really like that number. I think that's kind of a forgotten number. I think when we think about wide receivers, you want to go single digit. You want to go a number in the teens. There's only a handful of 80 numbers that really stick these days. I think 83 is one of them. 84 obviously has its rights. 88 I'm a big fan of. 81, 80, obviously those are classics. But I think 83, possession wide receiver, guy that's going to make plays. I like it. We're going to talk about Jacob Cowing on this podcast a little bit. Renardo Green wearing number 31. Actually, 31 is a pretty underrated number as well. I like the way it looks on the field. Malik Mustafa is going to wear number 43. Not a fan. Hopefully, we get a change after training camp for this, because I like Mustafa as a player. I think he's a very intriguing rookie here. 43 just doesn't cut it for me. That's probably my least favorite of the rookie class, him wearing 43. Staying on the rookies. Rookies are beginning to sign, which is obviously always exciting. It's kind of not as dramatic as it used to be, obviously, with just rookie scale and everything. Renardo Green from Florida State, Arizona Jacob Cowing, and Louisville running back Isaac Grindo have all signed their four-year rookie contracts. And before we move on, I know we talked about rookies a lot, but you know, looking at this rookie draft class in general, I think Jacob Cowing is maybe my favorite pick for the value of what it is. I mean, obviously, I loved Ricky Pearsall coming into the draft. You guys know how I felt about him. He was my favorite player in the draft. Talked a lot about him. Talked about the 49ers kind of being aggressive and trying to take him in the second round. Obviously, he ended up landing with the 49ers in the first round. But the 49ers ended up landing him in the first round. That's neither here nor there. We've kind of beaten that down. still really like the pick, like the, what the player brings to the team. But in terms of just value, I think any team that would have drafted Jacob Cowing, I would have said, you know, got a steal, got a player. We talked about him a lot. Obviously a big fan of Pac-12 football. It's hard to not turn on Arizona and watch Tate McMillan and Jacob Cowing for Arizona and see that those are two playmakers. Cowing was kind of like a, in my opinion, like your prototypical college wide receiver that was ultra productive. But I think he has some skills that translate to the next level. And I think this guy has a legit chance to contribute to this team in some fashion pretty quickly. I mean, yeah, he is small. He's 5'8", there's no doubt. And, like, strength could be a problem. And with that being said, he's not your ultra-fast burning speed type of guy. But he has that hammer X button turbo. That acceleration is really there off the line of scrimmage. He's very twitchy. He's a twitched up player. That's going to make people miss with that quickness, that twitchiness. He can run a lot of the routes using that quickness. And, you know, maybe he's even kind of serves as a kick returner. He was ultra productive. And I think that productivity is important to mention because one thing we talk about a lot with prospects is like the player they project to be, right? Like upside, situations like that. Well, later in the draft, value, you know, comes into play. And I think sometimes it's easy to like overcomplicate the draft process and the evaluation process as, you know, football players. Let's go out and find good football players. Let's go find good basketball players when it comes to the NBA draft. Like, it's on display right now in the NBA playoffs with a guy like Jalen Brunson, right? Like, he was discredited for size and speed and all of these different things, but like, let's not jump past the fact that he's a very, very proven, established, good basketball player at the end of the day. And if you are good at the game of football, basketball, whatever it is, it's going to translate. And I think that's what Jacob Cowing is. So it wouldn't surprise me if he kind of sticks around, makes plays. It reminds me of Juwan Jennings, right? A good football player. Obviously, late round draft pick. Didn't expect a ton out of him. And then now look at him. He's kind of become an integral part of the 49ers operation on offense, even though he doesn't touch the football a ton. I think you might see a similar situation with Jacob Cowing where he's going to make plays from time to time. It just won't surprise me if he sticks around and becomes an actual, you know, contributor to this offense in some form or fashion. Obviously, that doesn't mean, you know, 1,000 yards receiving, double-figure touchdowns. Obviously, if he does doing that, then the 49ers struck gold. But I just really like the Cowing pick for what it is. Again, just a good football player, and I don't want to discredit that. I don't want to overthink that fact. Now that we're kind of done touching up on the nuggets and news and things like that out here, let's talk about the fourth quarter of the offseason, because I feel like that's where we are right now. And for a team like the 49ers that is going all in on winning a Super Bowl, this is the final push of the offseason before camps begin. It's important. This isn't a team that is kind of trying to, you know, develop talent in terms of like an evaluation phase, right? They're not working with a rookie quarterback and multiple young pieces. This is a team that's trying to win the Super Bowl. This is a team that's trying to, you know, play deep into February and things like that. Right now, in terms of free agency, there are players left on the board, and most of them are proven veterans who are going to sign, you know, one-year contracts and things like that. And, you know, we just saw Odell Beckham sign with the Miami Dolphins. We've seen Tyler Boyd sign with the Tennessee Titans. And, like, look at what Beckham was paid, you know, a $3 million base type of thing with a lot of incentives. So you're going to get value on the contracts from the guys who are available. And once these post-June 1st cuts become official, some teams will, you know, be flush with cash and kind of ready to spend some of this money. And with the draft in the books, we're finally starting to see some like clarity with how these teams are going to look when they hit the field officially in the new season coming up. While as much clarity is provided, there's still some question marks. What's going to happen? What are these positions of need? So let's talk about some of these kind of situations that we've seen play out with the draft being over. And let's also talk about some of these positions that I think the 49ers could still address and add some players, and where in free agency the 49ers could kind of seek out some value here before the season gets officially underway. Because there's some guys that's easy to like circle that are still left on the board in terms of free agency, and it wouldn't surprise me if the 49ers don't kind of get aggressive and go after some of these guys. But before that, we have to mention it. It wouldn't be a normal podcast if we didn't mention the 49ers saga between Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. The draft is over, and both Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are still, as of now, officially members of the San Francisco 49ers. There has been so much trade speculation. You know their situations because we have talked about it ad nauseum. But here they are, members of the 49ers, with the draft wrapped up, despite the 49ers taking a wide receiver in the first round of the draft, which I still think was a bit of a surprise to a lot of people. I feel like this is kind of a, quote, Michael Jordan, Steve Kerr, Scottie Pippen, last dance situation for the 49ers receiving core. I feel like we fast forward to this time next year, one of these guys, both of these guys, are potentially on a different team. But as of now, they're going to run it back one last time. And again, I honestly love the aggressiveness of a team pushing all their chips in. These are two incredibly talented players, and the 49ers roster would have likely gotten worse if they were traded, and their chances of getting back to the Super Bowl would have likely faded a bit. The combination of Samuel, Ayuk, now Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, and George Kittle is one of the NFL's best group of pass catchers. Remove one of those from the equation, and Brock Purdy's arsenal of weapons is not the same. And when you're trying to pace Patrick Mahomes, you need all the firepower you can get. I applaud Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, for kind of keeping the band together. I don't think just moving Brandon Ayuk for the sake of moving Brandon Ayuk was necessarily a smart decision, even if you were to land a first-round pick. Before the draft, it felt like that was the only option because it seemed like the draft was kind of this deadline to make a decision on him. But, you know, if the 49ers win the Super Bowl and Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel are key contributors in that, which I think for the 49ers to win the Super Bowl, both those guys will need to be that, then this was an awesome decision. And if next year they have to trade one of these guys or potentially lose out on both of them, but they have a Super Bowl ring on, I think it was absolutely worth it. Absolutely worth it. You know, however, all that is very positive. The wrench in this situation could be, you know, a holdout from Brandon Ayuk. However, we're kind of waiting on that type of news. We haven't heard a ton on that. I think that is kind of provided a lot of, that was the big, like, looming question of the 49ers offseason. It felt like Brandon Ayuk was that kind of the big hanging domino on what the 49ers wanted to do specifically. And now it seems like there is a bit of clarity. I feel like I'd be relatively surprised if he was traded at this point. But moving on, let's talk about that fourth quarter of free agency, right? I mentioned it earlier, there is still some value out there. And for a team like the 49ers that's kind of making a push, depth and having extra veteran presence, players who understand what it's like to make a long playoff run is important. And kind of looking at specifically some positions, I think the 49ers could use help, and especially on the offensive line. And I think you kind of, your eyes shift to the tackle position whenever we talk about offensive line, because we kind of know what the 49ers' options are currently there. But none of these guys out there scream perfect fits for the 49ers. You know, David Bakhtiari, guys like that. I wouldn't think, like, they might be a bit of an upgrade over Colton McKivitz, but I don't, like, the style and the system. And I also just, I like Dominic Puni a lot. And I think if there's going to be a guy that's going to kind of push for, you know, a spot on the edges of the offensive line, I'd like to see Puni get a crack there. Obviously, he has some ability to play guard. I like him at tackle as well. I think my favorite potential signing when it comes to the offensive line that could really actually upgrade this position significantly, this position group, excuse me, is Connor Williams, the former Miami Dolphins center. played guard with the Dallas Cowboys, and has had a very, very productive career since coming out of the Texas Longhorns. However, he is coming off a major knee injury, and there's been kind of different reports and rumors of his recovery, and it could kind of bleed into the regular season. Well, I think the 49ers present a really good opportunity for him, right? They say, hey, we're going to compete for a Super Bowl, and you can take as much time as you need because we have an offensive line. But we've seen the interior of that offensive line be shaky at times. And Connor Williams could potentially play, you know, both guard positions and center. And you have a guy that could come in, let's just say, to be fair, mid-season if he's ready. And you have a kind of a major addition to the offensive line waiting for you in the wings, because there's no doubt Connor Williams has played at a Pro Bowl level the last two seasons with the Dolphins. And think about it, Mike McDaniel runs a similar system. It reminds me of, oh my gosh, all of a sudden he's blanking. It's not, I want to say Alec Lynn, but that's a center in the NBA, but Alex Mack, excuse me. Kind of an addition like that to the 49ers. A veteran, a guy that's going to really kind of boost Kyle Shanahan's offense a bit. Obviously not some crazy home run signing, but I feel like at this point, it's, you know, kind of like a can't miss, because obviously you're not going to have to pay him a ton of money, and you say, hey, get healthy, get ready, but when you're ready, you know, you're going to come in and kind of be a real piece to this offensive line. So I really like Connor Williams on the board still. The 49ers offensive line, if there was a hole on this team, it seems like as of right now, that's definitely a position in question. Moving down the board here, I think tight end. I've been kind of harping on the 49ers bringing in a veteran tight end. Cam Latu and Braden Williams will likely get a crack at, you know, being the backup to George Kittle. But I think a reliable veteran here could be valuable for the 49ers, especially with Kittle's injury history and just how crucial tight end has been for Brock Purdy's development and things like that. I really like Robert Tonyan. I think he's a serviceable backup. He's not a great pass catcher. There's obviously a lot of kind of like highlight reel drops of his. Shout out to Justin Fields, because last year he was with the Bears and there were some kind of ugly drops, but I think he's very sneaky athletic. He can block on the edge. He kind of is a player that is similar to George Kittle in terms of skill set. So I think those two would be a really nasty duo. I believe they're pretty close friends as well. So it seems like it just would make sense for Tonyan to land. I'm surprised he's unsigned, because I don't think by any means he's like technically a bad player. I think of whatever team I'm a fan of, he is still available. I would not be, you know, bummed with him being my tight end. I think there's some potential there, and now you're bringing him in as a number two guy. I think it could really work out well, and Kyle Shanahan could get creative in terms of just blocking on the edges with this guy. Corner is a position where I'm going to talk about corner and safety next, defensive back. There's just a lot of talent left on the board, and I don't think it's necessarily a position of need for the 49ers by any means, especially with them drafting, you know, Renardo Green, who we're really excited about. And then they signed Isaac Yiadom, Rock Ya-Sin, which are two signings that I really liked in terms of depth to kind of stick around Charvarius Ward and Lenore and Ambry Thomas. I think that secondary is kind of has more depth and than it's had in a long time, and guys that do different things well. We're going to see kind of Renardo Green in press man situations. I think they have kind of several options there. But to me, I still think with a guy like Xavien Howard on the board, I would take a hard look in terms of what he wants financially and stuff like that, because it seems like there's been reports of him, you know, wanting to play for a team competing for the Super Bowl, things like that. I think it's quick to say, like, is Xavien Howard washed? Is that why he's still available? Let's not get it twisted. Like, I've talked about this a lot. I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. I've watched a lot of Xavien Howard's career. I watched him a lot last year. Yes, he's not the same player he was a couple years ago. Absolutely. He's lost a step or two. But is he bad enough to lose you a game? Absolutely not. This guy's still a ball hawk, understands, you know, route running really well, will run routes for guys, I still think he has a little bit of juice in the tank, and I think the 49ers could squeeze that out of him. I think it's a really nice depth move, and he could potentially start with the 49ers. And now we're talking to, like, again, the fourth quarter of the offseason. So what are his options looking like? And I think the 49ers are in a very attractive position for a lot of these players. Safety, obviously another position. I wouldn't be opposed to the 49ers bringing in kind of a safety, obviously with Hufanga's injury. I like Mustafa a lot, the rookie. They don't necessarily need a safety, but honestly, again, like, this position group is just kind of stacked full of talent. And, like, when I say talent, I don't say, like, for example, like Robert Tonyan, talent in terms of what's left on the board. Connor Williams, talent in terms of what's left on the board. Like, safety, there's genuine talent there. Like, so one team is going to sign one of these guys, and they're going to compete at, like, a Pro Bowl level, in my opinion. Obviously, Justin Simmons, stud, Eddie Jackson, he can play. I really like Quandre Diggs. I think he's kind of an underrated signing. I thought he played well at times for the Seahawks last year. All three of those guys are available. All three would be kind of luxury additions for the 49ers, in my opinion. Those guys are just good football players. I would mention wide receiver in this group, but I mean, the additions of Pearsall, Cowing, I think likely eliminates them from, like, the Michael Thomas sweepstakes, Hunter Renfro. There are some good wide receivers still available. Obviously, they're kind of coming off the board with Odell and Tyler Boyd becoming, you know, Dolphins and Titans and different things like that. So I think wide receivers, obviously, off the board. I don't know how they could fit another guy in there. But yeah, I mean, I think if the 49ers were to grab a Connor Williams and a Robert Tonyan and potentially, you know, one of those guys or all three of these positions, I think would be, you know, kind of home runs at this point in this offseason. And let's get greedy. I mean, this is your time to get greedy. This is not your time to save cap space and work about, you know, worrying about the future. This is a team that's very much pushing their chips all in. And I love that about the San Francisco 49ers at this point in the season, the fourth quarter of the offseason. That is going to do it for us on the podcast today. Well, at least for the 49ers, because we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs here in a second. But yeah, thank you for listening in this fourth quarter free agency preview, wrap-up pod, whatever you want to call it. Just kind of a dead period podcast, but I still think important time in the off-season. You can always hit me on Twitter if you want to talk some ball. Got to take on college hoops, the transfer portal. College, I just love the transfer portal. It's so fascinating. It's just something to check every single day. College football, early favorite prospect for next year's draft class in college football, or even if you got a prop bet, some daily fantasy. Basically all sports, NHL, hell, it is even the end of the English Premier League season and is coming down to the wire. Come on, you Gooners. Yes, I am an Arsenal fan. Big matchup this weekend against Man U. Going to be exciting. But if you want to talk hoops and the Golden State Warriors, you already know I am the managing editor of USA Today's Warriors Wire. And with that being said, let's have some fun. Let's drop some predictions for the second round of the NBA playoffs. I know we are a few games in for most of the series, so I'm cheating a bit, but let's talk some ball here. Starting with the Knicks and the Pacers. The Knicks, man, they're an absolute wagon. I need to see Boston versus New York in the Eastern Conference Final. I feel like, as for rooting for a team, that's the series I'm rooting for the most to see. Just the fan bases going at each other will be must watch. Jalen Brunson is maybe the most impressive player in the playoffs, and I say that knowing just how good Anthony Edwards has been. It's becoming hard to kind of root against Brunson. His game, he's so tough, he's so gritty, it's just easy to root for. And I also think Dante DiVincenzo, former Warriors shout out, is playing some of the best ball of his career right now. I mean, has he missed kind of a clutch shot yet, it seems like? So I got the Knicks in six, I'm going to say, because I think the Pacers do have some spunk left. I like the Pacers. Like, heading into the season, I was a big Pacers guy. I kind of predicted them to go pretty far. I love Halliburton, what he's done there. But I think the Pacers,
fight back a little bit now that they're at home for game three. Celtics versus Cavaliers. Celtics are almost boring. They're so good. I mean, their average margin of victory, I feel like, is like 20-plus points. Shocked the Cavs beat them in game three. In my opinion, the Cavs stink. They're the worst team left in the playoffs. The Eastern Conference stinks pretty bad, and the Cavs are kind of a product of that. Barely edged out Orlando in the first round. I'm just not a huge fan of the format of that team. I think Evan Mobley, his inability on offense is just kind of disappointing. While Donovan Mitchell's good, Darius Garland's had some up and down moments. That series just kind of bores me. Like, I'm not exactly excited. I'm kind of still surfing the other channels of what's on when they're playing. As for the Western Conference, Mavs versus Thunder, absolutely thrilling. Kyrie Irving, I don't know what else you can really say about him. I love the role he's kind of playing with this Mavericks team right now. Had kind of a down game two, but obviously the Mavericks won. I think PJ Washington was a very sneaky addition to this Dallas Mavericks team. I predicted Dallas Mavericks to win the NBA Finals heading into the playoffs, so they're a team I'm obviously kind of following tightly. I think PJ Washington, it's funny, like, playing for Charlotte, he was kind of labeled as this kind of whatever player, like losing player, big stats on a bad team. Well, now he's kind of playing within a role on a good team by a good coach team with Jason Kidd, and they kind of, there's not a ton of attention on him with Kyrie and Luka out there, and Washington's absolutely thriving. I think he scored 30 tonight after I recorded this podcast in game two in their win. I just think OKC's still young, and I have to figure out what it's like to win in the playoffs. It's going to be interesting to see kind of how they bounce back here after suffering a loss and having to go on the road and steal a game. It'll be interesting. I love SGA. I think he's amazing. Amazing, amazing talent. Amazing point guard. Chet Holmgren, absolute stud. But I still think the Mavs are going to win this one. I think it's going to go to seven, though. I think this is going to be a really, really tough series. These teams are going to kill each other. Lastly, kind of the highlighter series in the second round seems to be the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the defending champion Denver McNuggets. I almost just said Denver Nuggets. Man, I can't believe, like, I'm all aboard the Anthony Edwards hype train. I wear the AE1s when I play basketball. I love just his game, the talk. I think he's perfect for the NBA. Like, he's why we watch the NBA players like that. I can't believe they've absolutely went out and punched the defending champs in the mouth. Two games at home, and game two, it seemed like they kind of broke them a bit. As good as Anthony Edwards has been, let's give some very well due credit to Jaden McDaniels. I mean, he's picking up Jamal Murray and absolutely disrupting the game defensively. A guy that doesn't turn a ton of stats, but he has just been amazing. The role players on that team, I mean, no Rudy Gobert, and still just an absolute swarming defensive effort in game two. Now they're heading back to Minnesota, where I'm sure it's going to be absolutely rocking. I think Denver fights back. I do think this, like, if we didn't see those first two games, I would have predicted Denver to win just because they seem machine-like. But, man, Minnesota is really, really tough to beat out. I still think Denver's going to fight back, though. I think Minnesota's going to steal the series, though, now that we know what we know. And this is kind of cheating here. My initial prediction would probably be Denver in six. Now I'm going to go Minnesota in six. I do think Denver fights back a little bit and steals a game or two. So for our Western Conference Finals, we have Minnesota and the Mavericks. Our Eastern Conference Finals is going to be the Knicks and the Celtics. And I'm still leaning Mavericks for the title. Mavs, Celtics in the NBA Finals is kind of where my prediction is going to sit for right now. But, I mean, who knows? I could just continue to cheat and change that up a bunch. Who knows? I mean, I mentioned I won the Kentucky Derby. Did I even win? People are asking if that's just fake news, and I'm trying to brag.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.